This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
The Sports Call podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. If you ever miss Sports Call Live or you want to hear something again, make sure you go back and listen to our show on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk Pepsi. That's what I like. JJ, Tom, Ryan, and Brooks inside our studios here on South College Street. And we want to go to our phone lines and bring on our next guest. It's one of our very good friends who joins us periodically throughout the basketball season. Love every time he's able to make some time for us. It's Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, kind enough to join us on the program. Ben, my friend, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, hanging in there. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much for asking. Ben, bit of an off-the-wall question to ask you here to start with, but I'll tie it back in a moment. How did you sleep last night, Ben?
Not so great, to be honest. I was up late writing a story, so you got me there.
I bring that up because my point here being, typically on July 1st, you're not sleeping too much the night prior because free agency is going and you're working, I don't know, 48 hours consecutively, and just thinking about how weird it is that that wasn't happening last night, Ben, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I threw my calendar out a long time ago, man. It's been a couple months. You know, I didn't get the draft lottery, didn't get the finals, didn't get the NBA draft, didn't get free agency, not getting summer league. The whole thing is up in the air right now. We're just kind of waiting to find out, you know, when do we book our tickets to the Orlando restart. And it's a different year, man. There's no question.
We'll certainly talk about what's going to take place in the bubble and that sort of thing. I did want to touch on July 1st with you quickly here. 2 years ago on this day, it's been two full years since LeBron James made the big decision to head out west to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. If someone missed the past two seasons of basketball and just wanted to find a word or a phrase to sort of summarize what LeBron's stint so far in Los Angeles has been, how would you say that?
Probably just roller coaster. You know, I mean, it's amazing how quickly the stories have changed there. I mean, during that two-year time period, we saw a coaching change. We saw a roster overhaul. We saw a blockbuster trade for Anthony Davis. We saw Magic Johnson step down in one of the weirdest situations you'll ever see in the NBA, where he's basically, you know, calls his own pregame press conference and just lets the media know that he's out of there. And along the way, you've seen LeBron play like an MVP. You've also seen him suffer the longest-term injury of his entire career with that groin injury on Christmas. We saw him miss the playoffs, and we saw him lead a number one seed. So, I mean, I think that pretty much covers every single base, doesn't it?
Well, Ben, we've seen, obviously, with this restart, with what the NBA is attempting to do, they definitely were very willing and wanted to make sure that they could give players the option if they wanted to sit out, to not have to feel the pressure of going down there. We've seen some notable role players at the least, and a guy like Avery Bradley, a guy like Trevor Ariza, amongst others, already opt out of it. What team do you see as being kind of the most affected by either guys that have already decided not to play or guys that might in the coming weeks decide not to play?
Well, I think the number one team that's affected for sure would be the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you look at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they're both staying home just because they're kind of recovering from injuries. But they also lose DeAndre Jordan. They're probably going to lose Spencer Dinwiddie. They had a couple – Wilson Chandler is going to stay home. I mean, half their team practically is staying home. You know, and not to mention they fired their coach right before the shutdown. So they got an interim coach and basically an interim roster, if you want to call it that. So, I mean, I think that they're going to be out of that Orlando situation quickly. In terms of the top contenders – most of the teams are in pretty good shape, guys. I mean, Milwaukee says everybody's going to be there. The Lakers pretty much think everyone's going to be there. There's kind of a question around Dwight and, of course, Avery Bradley, who you mentioned, but they signed J.R. Smith today to replace Bradley. And the Clippers are expecting everybody to be there, including Lou Williams, who was kind of, you know, 50-50 for a while there. So in terms of the teams that are really chasing the title, I think you're going to see, you know, a high volume of participation. For the teams that are more on the fringe, like the Nets or even the Wizards, have had some guys kind of dip their toes into maybe staying home, and the Blazers with Ariza, like you mentioned. I mean, those teams don't really have a chance to play for the title, and I think they're going to have a harder time keeping their guys in place there in Orlando.
Ben, your one of your latest articles on the Washington Post is talking about the TBT, which gets started this weekend, and what the NBA can learn from kind of that bubble situation with the basketball tournament up in Ohio. We do want people to go read it on thewashingtonpost.com. Give us, not giving everything away, what are some things that the NBA can learn from what's going to happen over the next week or two with this TBT tournament?
Well, it's interesting because all these sports are facing the same question, right? How do you play games safely? And both the NBA and the TBT decided, you know, you pretty much have to have a bubble. I mean, you could test guys as much as you want, but if you can't actually protect them from society, it's going to be hard to keep them healthy and keep them active to play. So for me, the real lessons wind up being kind of for baseball and football, where they don't have a bubble idea at all. And that's where it starts to get real questionable. How are they going to try to play their seasons? Are they just going to go right through positive tests? If there's an outbreak, are they just going to keep going? I mean, those are really, really legitimate questions that these sports have to face. Now, so the TBT, it's very interesting. They're having about 300 players in that tournament. So that lets them keep their bubble really small. I mean, they're basically, they have one hotel. They've got a super security. Guys can't go in and go out. They just walk one block back and forth between the hotel and the arena. They play their games. It's, you know, it's win or go home. So you don't have guys hanging around for 3 months like the NBA. So it actually winds up being a really good, controlled, smaller experiment to see if this whole thing can work. Now, for the NBA, they've got to keep some of these guys in quarantine for 3 months. I mean, that's an awful long time. A lot of things can go wrong during that time period. And, of course, they're also going to be playing full playoff series rather than just one game. So I think for the NBA, the biggest lesson is, you know, just see if something does go poorly, how is the TBT able to react to it? You know, do they just shut their team down? Do they have to pause the event? I mean, you're kind of looking for help on the worst-case scenarios, I think, because the NBA has all the resources in the world to put together a really strong plan, and they've done that.
Adam Silver has talked in the last week. He's done various press, and that last week he said, look, it's something that we're going to have to figure out how to play during this because – we would like a vaccine as soon as possible, but there's no guarantee it's going to happen in 2020. So we've got to figure out how to move forward in this pandemic age. However, in the last few days, I've heard him say that he can't guarantee, obviously, that they can make it through this season without a stoppage, without another stoppage, or maybe if at all. What are you hearing? What do you think would be kind of the situation that would have to occur for the NBA, if it happens beforehand, to cancel their plans, or if it happens during the process in the bubble, what would have to happen for them to put the season back to a halt?
Right. So, you know, once they get down there, you know, I'm pretty confident they're going to be able to start the games up okay. I say that because they have a very rigorous transportation process in terms of how they're getting guys there. They're also doing the testing once guys arrive. So everybody should start with a clean slate. And they don't have a very long training camp, so the amount of time between when guys arrive in Florida, which is going to start next week, and when the games start at the end of the month is pretty short. So I'm feeling very confident they're going to be able to get these games started. But if something does go wrong along the way, their current plan is if one player tests positive, whether he's a role player or a superstar, you just treat that guy like he's injured. He's got to be sidelined for 2 weeks until he can clear the symptoms and get healthy and test negative. So that's step one. The problem is if that guy infects one of his teammates or two of his teammates or half his team or a couple opponents and the thing spreads out of control, that gets to be where it's really tricky. And Adam Silver has not drawn a line in the sand. He hasn't said, okay, X number of tests means that we're going to shut down. They've left that open-ended. But you can imagine, you know, if they're in the middle of the playoffs, they can't, you know, really just like stop one team's schedule and keep the other games going on. That's not really how it works. I imagine if I were them, I would try to just, you know, maybe have one team forfeit and keep the rest of the tournament going as opposed to shutting the whole thing down because you're investing so much money in trying to put these playoffs on. But ultimately, if you have a real widespread outbreak where lots of players from multiple teams are all testing positive and you just can't control the virus at all, that's when you'd have to shut it down.
Follow me on Twitter at Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. We're talking about the NBA and the restart that's going to be happening here at the end of the month. The next question a lot of folks have, Ben, is, okay, we want to watch the event. What exactly is that going to look like without fans in venues, in arena, broadcast noise, implementing crowd noise and that sort of thing? What exactly is that going to look like on television, Ben?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, you know, it's going to be great for the diehards and the degenerate gamblers, right? Because they're going to be starting games at 1 p.m. and they're going to be playing for 10 hours straight. So you're going to have up to 7 games per day during like the regular season portion of this before they hit the playoffs. You're going to have up to 4 games on national TV. You're going to have staggered starts so you could watch multiple games at the same time. Like, if you are a diehard hoops fan, you're going to have a lot to watch. Now, in terms of what they're doing in the court, a lot of that still remains to be determined. There's not going to be anyone in the arena. Very, very few people. You're going to have the team kind of spaced out on the bench. You're going to have some players who aren't actually playing wearing masks. But they're going to try to keep the gameplay as similar as possible. You know, they've talked about doing enhanced audio. They have said they're going to add some never-before-seen camera angles so you can kind of get up close and personal with these broadcasts. They've talked about experimenting with letting fans, you know, pick who the broadcasters are or pick what camera angles they watch simultaneously, a little bit more of a customizable experience. You might be able to do that, you know, online with your website as opposed to, you know, necessarily on the TV broadcast. But I think they're also going to try to have, you know, some level of technology integration too, whether it's video boards showing fans or things like that, so it doesn't just feel like an empty arena. But, you know, these leagues have gotten very creative around the world. I don't know if you guys have seen, like, cardboard cutouts or stuffed animals. You know, they kind of throw different things into the empty seats just to make it seem full. And I expect that they're going to try to mimic a normal game atmosphere as much as possible. I anticipate there being music. There will be a scorekeeper, you know, a public address announcer announcing things. So there's going to be a lot of elements that people are used to, but it's going to be an adjustment. You know, there's no question.
Ben, something that's been reported the last couple of days, which is just mind-boggling, is that each day to operate this bubble, it's going to cost around $150 million. I can't process that for a day, let alone multiply that out by all the time that they're actually going to need to be down there. Obviously, the league's got to be losing money in this proposition, right? I mean, I know you get a lot of money from TV deals, and you get to actually complete those TV deals with the completion of the season. But, I mean, is there any estimate of how much the NBA will actually lose if this thing does play out according to plan?
I think, just to clarify that report, I want to say it's like $1.5 million per day, so it's about $150 million total, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
so I don't have that number confirmed personally, but I can tell you it's going to be very, very expensive, and here's why. They've got to have three separate hotels to house all these players. They've got to do lots and lots of coronavirus testing, more than 10,000 tests. That adds up. They have to bring down an entirely new production setup, right, for the television broadcast because they've never done it in these arenas in the same way previously. And then the bottom line is the players expect a pretty good quality of life, right? I mean, they don't want to go down there and just be stuck in their hotel rooms for 3 months. I mean, you have to have things for them to do. So you add all those things up, not to mention the private chefs and the food and, you know, all the other activities that are going to be involved, and it does get very expensive. I'll say this. They're going to make money off this thing if they can finish it because, remember, right now their revenue is zero. You know, they haven't been able to put on anything since March. And these owners are hurting. So ultimately, I think they're expecting to potentially be able to recoup more than $1 billion in television revenue. That's not to say that they're going to be able to have that all as profit, because there's going to be a lot of expenses along the way. But certainly, I believe they'll be running this thing you know, at a profit, not a loss.
His name is Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, and he's joining us here on a Wednesday edition of Sports Call, talking about the NBA and restart plans. Ben, when you look here locally in our backyard here in Auburn, Alabama, two of the four closest teams to where we're seated in the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets do not get to be a part of the NBA restart. What do the next few months for those two franchises and the eight other teams that don't get to be a part of the fun?
It's challenging, man. It's really challenging for those teams because the NBA has really tried to limit how much teams can do from a team workout perspective. So, like, right now, even the teams that are going to Orlando to play in this tournament, they're not allowed to have practice right now. They can have guys come in one at a time, but they don't want everybody getting, you know, one player being sick and getting all of his teammates sick before they get down there. So all those teams have to be kind of socially distanced right now, and it's the same rules for those teams that you're mentioning who were not invited. Now, that could change. You know, they could get to a different stage here in a couple months where, you know, maybe the country gets a better hold on this virus. You know, everybody's feeling a little bit safer, and they can come up with some rules so those guys could practice together. But, you know, it's very possible that those teams are just going to be subjected to a very long off season. You know, currently next year is expected to start in December. I guess that could always change. But, you know, for a team like the Hornets, who you mentioned, that's a 9-month layoff, you know, without, you know, your team being able to play together. I mean, that's a lifetime in any professional sport, but certainly for basketball as well. And it puts those teams at a real competitive disadvantage. They don't want all these other teams getting this practice time, this game time together, and they're feeling like they're just sitting at home twiddling their thumbs. So those teams are pushing hard to be able to do something. They just haven't gotten anything approved quite yet.
Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Golliver. Listen, my friend, we really do appreciate the time. Let our listeners know what they can expect from you coming over the couple of days, because it sounds like you're losing some sleep, Ben, and we're expecting great work coming.
Well, I'm trying, man. We're just, you know, all these teams are getting back doing media calls. So, you know, lots of takes today. You know, is there going to be an asterisk on that title? You know, we heard from Giannis in Milwaukee. We heard from the Lakers, from the Clippers on that subject. So I'll probably be writing on that here soon. But it's just nonstop coverage, man. It does feel like basketball is back. My life has definitely picked up here in terms of the busyness, you know, compared to even like a week or two ago. So it's nice to have something to talk about. So thanks, guys.
Absolutely, Ben. We'll talk to you again soon. Get some sleep and we'll talk again.
All right, guys. Take care.